Stand firm. Be manly. Be powerful. Let all your things happen in love. I kind of thought as I got older, I would kind of be the gentle, grandfatherly type who took everything in stride and who would just say, everything's going to be all right. But I'll tell you, I would still rather be the hammer than the nail. You know, be strong enough to be gracious. This is more than being polite. You guys, I mean, this weekend has been the picture of graciousness. This has been the most gracious group that I've been around. I mean, I just want to applaud you. This has been great. Everybody, what can I do for you? Sometimes we all slip up. I remember a nursing home situation where I was visiting an older lady and, I hadn't eaten all day. Kind of like today. I'm there visiting and she went to the bathroom and there's some peanuts on her nightstand. Helped myself to the peanuts a little bit. I felt bad. Poor lady in a nursing home eating her peanuts. So my conscience got the best of me, and I had to confess when she got back. And I said, I ate some of your peanuts. And she was very gracious. And she said, honey, she said, that's okay. She said, I sucked the chocolate off of them and didn't leave them there. It's my turn to be gracious. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Remind them, Titus 3:1, to subject themselves to principalities and authorities, to be obedient, to be prepared for every good work. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. To blaspheme no one. To not be quarrelsome, to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. For we were previously foolish, disobedient, being misled, serving in various lusts and sensual delights, leading lives in malice and envy, spiteful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love of mankind had appeared, He saved us. Not from any works done in righteousness which we practiced, but according to His mercy, through the full washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, in order that we might become heirs according to the hope of everlasting life, having been made righteous in that grace. Be strong. Strong enough to be gracious. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, I am so grateful and thankful, Father, for the graciousness that you have shown to me. Lord God, I am grateful for this assembly. Grateful, Father, to be able to come to share. Father, as I look back and think of all the times that you have taken care of me, when I didn't even know it, and I didn't even say thank you, Lord God, I do thank you. Father, help us as we express that thanks every minute as we worship in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Graciousness. I think Marshall knows that I have never been the most patient man in his life. And there have been times when I haven't been gracious. So I had to look it up in the dictionary. And the dictionary definition of gracious is marked by kindness and courtesy. Marked by tact and delicacy. I think that's what got me. Merciful. Compassionate. Pleasing. Acceptable and godly. Courteous. Polite. Civil. Well-mannered. Gentlemanly. I think there might have been an agenda in this topic assignment. Tactful, diplomatic, merciful, forgiving, compassionate, kind, lenient, pitying, forbearing. Tender-hearted and sympathetic. C.S. Lewis described courtesy in Mere Christianity as the idea that one does not give any kind of preference to himself. And he said that it was one hallmark of a fully Christian society. The society, or the kingdom, that lacks courtesy, graciousness, grace, is not the kingdom that Jesus has built. You know, I like the idea in the book of Love and Respect that you can be right at the top of your voice, and you might as well not be right. I mean, we all know the adage, you know, it's not so much what you say, it's how you say it. Can we say it with love and with graciousness? Can we be strong, but strong enough to be gracious? Titus is told to remind them. You see, I get accustomed to your face. And so when we get accustomed to people, we kind of take some maybe shortcuts in courtesy. Nobody else sees me in that old ratty t-shirt and boxer shorts. Why? Well, because I want to be courteous. I want to be gracious. I don't want you to come over and see me. But Mary Jo sees that. Oh, we can kind of get, we can kind of get a little too relaxed. So, and I think sometimes that happens within the context of the family of God, that we can get a little too... Now, it's rumored I've got a sense of humor. And I've even been told that I can be a little, caustic. And it's all in good fun, But my point is that this is more than please and thank you. It's deeper than conventional social graces. Someone this weekend referenced 2 Samuel chapter 19, where Absalom, David's son, has been killed in battle. Now, Absalom, and I'm trying to be gracious here, but he was a rat. I mean, and David is mourning his son and not having the proper graciousness, grace, or regard for the soldiers who have fought in the battle that Absalom is largely responsible for. And so he is told to, you better get your act together, and you better go out there, and you better speak graciously to those people. I'm not saying fake it till you make it, but boy, if you say everything that's on your mind, that's not good. I heard people say, well, if I was thinking of that, no, you shouldn't. No, don't say it. I mean, that's, thoughts are like birds. You may not be able to keep some of these birds from landing in your hair, but you can keep them from building a nest there. Now, you don't have to say every thought that comes, into your head. See? So David is told to go speak graciously to the people. That didn't relieve his mourning, his sadness for the death of his son, but he had to put his priorities in order. I complained a little bit this morning about being tired, not having to get up. Man, these rallies are killing me. And I let Mary Jo drive, sat back in the air conditioning, drove on paved roads. And I can't help but wonder what, God's thinking, all this stuff I made so convenient, and you're whining about being tired. I wonder if there is even something deeper than that when it comes to being gracious. I like to go to Oregon and visit Bill, and Bill is very, very, very gracious, and he says, my house is your house. Make yourself at home. Now, I realize there's limits. And so, I respect those limits because I respect him. That's his sovereignty. And if I would violate that sovereignty of his home, his castle, that'd be rude. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. and verse 13. Now, this starts out as a prophecy against the king of Tyre, but there's something else going on here that I think we're supposed to pick up on. Now, in Ezekiel 28 and 13, you were in Eden. Well, the king of Tyre wasn't in Eden. There was Adam, and there was Eve. There was God, because he walked and talked with Adam in the cool of the day, and there was the serpent. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald. The workmanship of your tambourine and your pipes was in you. In the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Now, just a quick little trip there. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? Remember what the Ark had on top of it there? See? Now why would God need a covering? See? Well, you see, the fellowship aspect, see? Captain Kirk had a Mr. Spock, see, he's second there. So this exalted cherub is in the intimate confines. He is the covering for God. He said, I set you so that you were upon the holy mountain of God. I heard Steve Doty put it like this one time. He said, you know, Lucifer was in God's bedroom. You know, as close as Bill and I am, I have been in his bedroom. And I hope never to be. But this is the intimacy of the personal assistant of God Almighty who is now in that glory. Verse 15. Well, I forgot 14. Let's do 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I set you so that you were upon the holy mountain of God, and you walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your commerce, they filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. You had so much, and you didn't appreciate it, and you reached for more. Therefore, I cast you out of the mountain of God as profane, and I have destroyed you. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You know, we think about the poverty and destitution, the hunger, all over the world. But I'm convinced that what Satan can't achieve through suffering, he can achieve even easier through decadence. See, we have so much. And we don't realize that how much we have, what's required of us. See, you have corrupted your wisdom because of your brightness. No, that's why it's so hard for a rich man, because, you know, easier than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, because the rich man doesn't need God for physical things, see? And so, Satan here is cast to the ground, and I've laid you before kings that they may behold you, and by the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your commerce, you have profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought out a fire from the midst of you. It has devoured you, and I have turned you to ashes upon the earth. In the sight of all who behold you, all those who know you have become a horror, and you will not be everlasting. It's a dangerous thing not to show courtesy and graciousness to God's stuff. You want to see some of God's stuff? Look to your left, look to your right. You know, this is more than just acceptable societal behavior. Is God gracious? Yeah. Did God say, let us make man in our own image? Yeah. You think something made out of the dirt that is also given free will is going to choose to serve God because God is so gracious that people can't resist? Nah. No, Satan ain't going to buy that, see? Because God could have put this rebellion down in a heartbeat. I mean, he could say, you're done. But that proves he's bigger. Doesn't prove he's more gracious. But do you realize what we are proving through our graciousness through to the heavenly realms? This is not just about blowing smoke and making your neighbor feel good. That's a side benefit. But you know who else is watching this? You know who is being vindicated by our graciousness? That's why we're told to be strong. Be strong enough to be gracious. Our deportment, our speech, sometimes our lack of speech, reveal the reality of the work of the Spirit. I'm not talking about restraint only. You see, what restraint does is confine that behavior for the moment. But graciousness is an attitude of putting others before yourself. And the only way that I know to do that consistently is to have a purpose bigger than me and even bigger than them. It's got to be the vindication to the heavenly realm that God is righteous and that I have the faith. The faith of Christ is going to cause me to do it His way. And that's going to produce an attitude of graciousness. Does it happen all at once? No. See. Then it better be happening. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. To the church at Colossae, he writes, to the new creations at Colossae, he writes, Colossians 3:8, but also now place all these things away from yourselves: anger, fury, malice, blasphemy, obscene speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have stripped off the old man together with his practices. Drop down to verse 13. I like this. Tolerating one another. Tolerate? Yeah. Tolerating one another and forgiving others in yourselves. If anyone has a complaint towards anyone, just as Christ forgave you, so you also forgive others. But over all these things, be clothed with love, which is the bond of maturity. And let the peace of God arbitrate in your hearts, for which you were also called in one body, and become thankful. Now, I ain't saying fake it till you make it. But I am saying sometimes it's tolerate instead of exterminate. Sometimes the best you can get is to tolerate, you know. So you tolerate, but then line upon line, precept upon precept, that builds then the strength to be strong and to be strong enough to be gracious. You don't have to respond to every hurt that you feel. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, Ephesians 5:1, become imitators of God. As beloved children, and walk in love, be imitators of God. Walk in love. As Christ also loved us and gave himself up on our behalf as an offering and a sacrifice to God for an aroma of a sweet fragrance. It is essential that we understand that this graciousness that the apostle is focusing on, he's focused more on attitude than simply actions. See? And that attitude is built. It's built over time. See? As we grow, as we mature. See? We start to imitate God. Yeah. There are times when I know God has tolerated me. See, it's not that he stopped loving me. It's not that there was something wrong with his love. But I'm sure he looked and thought, man, come on. You know, you're better than this. You know what? I am. I was made to be better than that. Because attitudes dictate actions. Now, sometimes our actions, you know, under some stress, our actions can be less than. But you know, Satan's going to use that then to say that you're weak. That nothing's changed. You see? Yes, it has. Each time we recognize that, each time we make that correction, each time that we are kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you, be strong. Be strong enough to be gracious. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you were called unto this. We were designed for this. Well, it's just the way I am. What? Repent. Yeah, pretty basic. For you were called into this because Christ suffered on our behalf, leaving a model for you in order that you should follow after his footprints. You disrespected me. Yeah. We are responsible to speak the truth with love. We don't back down. We don't weasel word anything. And courtesy and graciousness does not mean that we should be silent concerning evil. But I don't see the story going that, you know, after, you know, Adam and Eve eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Maybe if Adam would have just said, excuse me, everything would have been okay. God's gracious. Oh, sure. Mine's good. No. That's not quite the way it worked, did it? Because any time that I think that I can do a better job of deciding what good and evil is than God, what have I done? I have replaced him, see? I've replaced him with my judgment. What has God always wanted? Listen to my voice. That's it. Listen to, trust me. I'm always, this was referenced this weekend too. You know, it was David, and Saul's chasing him around, you know, and David wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. And that really puts a governor, David's attitude is our attitude in the car after somebody has offended us, right? Man, somebody said, don't diss the church in front of your kids. I agree. Don't diss the church. You don't have to point out to somebody every inconsistency that you see. And talking to somebody about your hurt feelings never helps. Because if they say your feelings shouldn't be hurt, then you're mad at them. And then they say, yeah, your feelings should be hurt, then you're off to the races. See? Be strong. Be strong enough to be gracious. A mighty resurrected army will not permit the world to define for it what graciousness is and what is rude. In this time in Western society, people wish to identify themselves by lifestyle choices. I like Alan Marshall. You know, he'll be driving down the road and he'll say, man, they're flying the flag. You know, he deals with a lot of Muslim culture. You know, and these boys will be flying the flag. You know, you go to the cities, you see, homosexuals flying the flag. See? And these people are resentful of people who don't agree with their choice. So consequently, the Lord's church is often accused, see, of being bigoted, of being mean, being ungracious, deliberately attacking sinners because they won't agree that the choices are innocuous or even good. Rude, rude, rude. You Christians, you're just rude. You're just bigots. It's almost as though we're witnessing the conditions that prevailed in Israel during the dark days of the judges. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That's why the faith of Christ, the apostles' doctrine, is so important. There is absolute truth. There is an objective standard. This is not up for grabs. But realize it's not the people that are our enemy. First Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. When Jehoshaphat asked if there was a prophet of the Lord in the land, 1 Kings 22:8, Ahab responded, "There's yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. He never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." The one man who would speak the truth was hated, and his warning was rejected. We've got to be strong enough to be gracious, and strong enough to let people know that we care about them. They're trapped. Now, a new creation has to show perfect courtesy towards all. A self-centered, smugness, legalistic, narrow-minded, both eyes through the keyhole, saying, it really is the mark of a worldly lifestyle. Remember the indictment of the covering cherub? Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You've corrupted your wisdom because of your brightness. Christians who adopt the attitude and actions of this world demonstrate that they haven't moved very far from where they began. Be strong. Be strong enough to be gracious. You know, me first means everybody else is second. And when people become their own gods, they naturally end up giving all preference to themselves. When people become their own gods, they place a higher value on self-expression than on kindness to others, because they believe that their own opinions and feelings matter more. Be strong. Be strong enough to be gracious. The kingdom must not emulate the world around us in condemning hatred in one breath and then spewing hatred with the next. James chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm winding this thing down here. So the tongue is also a little member and boasts of magnificent things. Behold, how vast a forest that lights up with such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the world of unrighteousness. Thus the tongue is designed among our members as what stains the whole body and ignites the birth cycle, the cycle of life. And it's ignited by hell. The spring's not gushing sweet and bitter water from the same hole in the ground, is it? My brother, a fig tree is not able to produce olives, or a vine produce figs, right? Thus, no spring is able to produce both salty and sweet water. How do we speak of others and to others who don't measure up to our standards? Our world exalts itself by tearing other people down. Titus 3:1 says, remind them to be subject themselves. And as I'm sure you've noticed, Western culture is becoming more and more tribal. It's us against them. Brother, the last time I looked, salt, light, and a city on a hill does not indicate a thus against them. It is us against the prince and power of the air. And these people are caught in the middle and need to be dealt with graciously. And the only way we're going to deal with them graciously is when we get used to dealing with each other graciously. There have been people in my life who have been gracious. We must never condone sin in any individual, but we must always insist that each individual deserves respect as a person. All sin is reprehensible, but Christ died for sinners, and we are the only hope. Be strong. Be strong enough to be gracious. The transforming power of the gospel is the Christian heritage. And people are going to be able to observe that transformation process from the inside by the fruit that we produce. Philippians 4:8. Furthermore, brother, as many things as are true, honorable, righteous, as many as are pure, as many as are lovely, what? Think on these things. Put your mind there. See? Any virtue, any praise, see? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it commendable? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? Be strong. Strong enough to be gracious. Thank you for your attention.
We will break until 3 o'clock, so that's 12 minutes from now.